Miami Valley Music Cast, Episode 4.
Hi, I'm Greg Jones. You are listening to Miami Valley Music Cast with Rich Palmer.
The Miami Valley Music Cast.
Welcome to the Miami Valley Music Cast. I'm Rich Palmer. This is Episode 4. I'm recording on Sunday, October 9, 2005, which, by the way, is the very first day of Fire Prevention Week. So make sure you check those smoke alarms, have an exit drill, practice it with your family. Let's be safe out there, okay? The Miami Valley Music Cast is a program where I feature interviews and music from all types of singer-songwriters, bands in the Miami Valley area in Southwest Ohio. You can find us online at podcasts.richpalmer.com. I encourage you to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. But if you want to, you can also listen to the show right there at the website. If you are a band looking to be featured on my show, then please send me an email at podcast@richpalmer.com. Let me know who you are. Give me your website if you have one. Give me a phone number and a name, and I'll get in touch with you. We'll see if you fit right here on the show. Before I go too much further, if you listen to Episode 3, which was a special edition that I did last Wednesday, I featured several PodSafe bands, not necessarily from this area, but from the Pod Show that you can find at music.podshow.com. And one of those bands was called the Burning Sensations. Now, I want to apologize to that band because I inadvertently said, or maybe I just mistakenly said, that I thought they were from Toledo. Turns out they're right here in our backyard. They're from Cincinnati. So I apologize to the guys. Great music. Check them out online at theburningsensations.com. And also, we're going to try to see if we can get them on the show sometime here in the near future. I'm going to start with music today from a guy by the name of Greg Jones. He's a progressive rock guitarist, and I'm just going to start right out with his music, and then we're going to hear some great interviews from Greg. He gave me a lot of great information, and again, so much information that I really don't have time to put it all in the show. So I apologize, Greg, that I couldn't do that, but we do have a lot of good information here from Greg, and most importantly, some great music. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the sounds of Greg Jones. That was the song Terminal Velocity by Greg Jones, and that's from his latest CD called String Theory. You can find Greg at gregjonesmusic.com. I had an opportunity to spend quite a bit of time on the phone with Greg, and we talked a little bit about some of the songs that are on the String Theory CD, and he actually gave me some background on a few of those. I thought I'd just start now with his explanation of this song we just heard, which was called Terminal Velocity.
Terminal Velocity is a, when you hear it, it's kind of a busy song, a bombast of notes, some people might say. This is a certain style of music that some of us, you know, really into more progressive rock thing, music styles are going to appreciate more than others. There's a great opening riff that I really dug, but it goes into a cool chord progression, got a great melody going on, good overall groove. One of my best songs I think I've written, it's a high-energy song, and there's a cool piano blues solo I like in the middle of it, and it kind of breaks down into there's a funky rhythm section in the middle, and it has what sounds like horns, and that's really a keyboard. Really, I don't even think it's imitating a horn patch, but it sounds very much like horns to the average listener. And that riff comes out of my influence of the early 90s band called Extreme. I always loved Nuno Bettencourt, and what he would do is he would play a hard rock tone with funk rhythms, very syncopated, usually with the horn section. And my horns are synthetic, so they don't sound as good, but he's a fantastic player. That's kind of my influence that you're hearing right there. I did get this song. It's been reviewed on GarageBand.com, and most have had some very good reviews on it. It's in the top 10 of their second round of reviews. As far as negative reviews, I had somebody said I sounded way too much like Petrucci of John Petrucci of Dream Theater, and I do love Dream Theater. I could take it as a compliment, by the way, since he's a great player, but I don't want to sound like anyone, and I really don't try to, you know, imitate him or anyone else at this point. I'm at a level where I try to do my own thing, and I can tell them how I play differently than Petrucci, because Petrucci plays a lot more scale sequences, and I do a lot more open intervallic stuff. I guess that sounds like Egyptian speak to the non-musician.
I don't know, being told you sound like Petrucci, I guess there's a lot of guys that would aspire to that, so I guess it is a pretty good compliment.
It is a good compliment, but you know, you want to have your own individuality. And
now, I can think of far lesser compliments that could be given than that. Greg has a definite mission and purpose with his music, and you will find through the interview what I mean by that. One of the things that he said to me was that he sometimes feels blessed that he can take what he hears in his head and actually reproduce it the way he heard it. I think that's a goal that a lot of us strive for, but we never quite achieve. So congrats to him for that. Let's continue on with his interview. And you would describe your music as?
I always describe it as instrumental progressive rock, because, you know, there's a lot of instrumental rock guys out there, like most popular would be Steve Vai and Satriani, and I do like their stuff, but been more influenced probably by Dream Theater, which you can definitely hear in the style, and they did a side project, an instrumental group called Liquid Tension Experiment, which they brought in Tony Levin of King Crimson and Jordan Rudess, which at one time was not playing keyboard for them, later joined. And that was an influential album for me, both those albums. They put two out. I just decided to go out and put out some music kind of like that. I liked it because it was still very melodic, a lot of catchy hooks. And at the same time, it wasn't only guitar-oriented. They would have keyboards and drums. Everybody was a virtuoso, and it showed. And that's something that I've kind of gotten tired of as I've listened to some of the guitar soloists out there. They, even if they have great supporting musicians, they don't write the music so as to allow those other musicians to shine. So I do that, but only to even though I say that, I do it only to a limited degree, because when I play live, we play to a sequence synthesizer. And nobody wants to see me play go back and forth between solos with a sequencer.
Right.
I have to do that. I do that out of necessity because I can't find a keyboard player who can play great leads. But if I could, I'd probably split it up maybe closer to, you know, 60-40 or even 50-50. I like the denseness keyboards add to the music.
Yeah, it adds a lot of texture. Keyboard players are kind of gold around here, right now.
Yes, they are.
So,
and I do play keyboard, but and people ask me when they listen to CD if that's me playing, and I'm playing all the rhythms. I can play all the chord stuff, but when it comes to all the fast leads, except for some of the bluesy leads, I can play like a Jerry Lee Lewis style. But other than that, I'm cheating. I'm sequencing it. And for anyone who's listening who's not familiar with sequencing, basically it's the idea. I always tell people it's like a computerized version of having a piano roll. You know, the you've seen the old upright pianos and the Westerns that have a piano roll, and that piano roll is basically, it just represents information that tells the piano what to play. It tells it what notes to play, when and how fast, etc. Well, sequencing does the same thing, except you're giving that information to a computer in digital format, and the computer is basically playing the keyboard. So that's what sequencing is, and that's basically how I write the music. That's my primary tool. Where the classical composers might have written out sheet music, I think it's much more efficient, living in a digital world, to write via the sequencer, because what I can do is I'll write the idea on the keyboard. I'll have the keyboard mimic. It can have mimic 16 instruments going simultaneously.
Right.
So I can have a drum beat and a bass guitar just to get a feel for how everything's going to groove. And I could sequence a part that might be a guitar rhythm. And I can listen to it back, decide if I like it or not. I can edit it very easily. I can insert parts and cut and paste, remove things. I can say, what if I was to change this note, or change that note and just alter the scale. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll try to write music that I can't play, and then I'll have to learn it. After I like the sound of it, I'll learn it via the sequencer. If I didn't have the sequencer, I'd have to do it backwards. I'd have to write the music on sheet paper and go forth and learn it, and hopefully it's going to match what I heard in my head. And I can imagine banging my head being really frustrated if I found out that after I learned it, I didn't like it.
I almost hear then that you're becoming a better musician because of the digital capabilities.
Yes, I hope so. And because in a sequencer, I can loop things, I can slow it down, I can do all the point-and-click stuff. So it does help you to grow. And that's one reason why I play this style of music. It's kind of a flashy style of music, and I know that there's a lot of pretentious musicians playing jazz and progressive rock who just want to, have an attitude of, ha, 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 I can play better than you. But really, my attitude, I hope I don't come across like that, because my attitude is kind of like the guy that goes and climbs Mount Everest, and he does it, whether there's cameras out watching him or not, he does it for the challenge. And that's part of the reason why I play it. Now, it's not just about complexity and difficult playing and flashiness. It's got to have a great tune. It's got to have a great melody. And I'd say my overall compositional philosophy is that I want to play and write music that has appeals both viscerally and intellectually. In other words, music that appeals both to left brain and right brain. And most commercial music you hear on the radio, is visceral. It appeals to the emotions.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to get into any greater depth lyrically or complexity with the music. I don't want to go to the other extreme either. I think commercial music's on the extreme of visceral side.
Right.
I don't want to go to the extreme where it's all pedantic. I want it to have a good balance. And I think people who aren't used to hearing it might initially think, well, maybe, it's too complex. But in my view, no, there's simple parts I've written. There's 1-4-5 chord progressions. There are simple melodies. I think people just, maybe their perceptions are skewed because of conditioning by listening to MTV and, the pop radio format.
Right. There's been a lot of discussion on this show and in just the last two episodes about how we're sometimes spoon-fed certain types of music, and we begin to like them only because that's what we know.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that. I also wonder, it's kind of the chicken versus the egg syndrome.
Right.
I wonder is, do the radio stations and the A&R reps at the record companies, do they create our preferences and influence them, or are they responding to them? I think we're going to find out over the next 5-10 years, because the Internet is revolutionizing music distribution and publishing, and it's just a golden age for musicians like me who are unsigned yet want to get the music out there. I mean, I got the whole World Wide Web to exploit for music distribution, where 10, 15 years ago, I had to have a record deal so I could get my music into a CD connection and a Walmart. I don't have to do that anymore.
Right. Well, and that kind of brings me into another question. You're marketing your product now. If somebody wants to go in and buy one of your discs, and you've done your collaboration element disc, and then you have your string theory, how can they buy that?
Well, there's got several ways that they can buy the music. They can go onto my website, again, www.gregjonesmusic.com, and they can order it via hard copy and basically give me their address and information, and I snail mail them out a CD. They can also have the option of purchasing the music via an internet download straight from my website in MP3 format, and that saves them a little money, $10 a CD. And they don't get the nice artwork, but it's a quick and dirty way to do it, and I think it's a method people are more comfortable with. You can also buy the CD via several third-party websites, Guitar 9 Records, CD Baby, and finally, the CD is available via about 25 digital distributors, including iTunes and Napster, Music Match.
So you're really getting some widespread distribution at this point.
Yes, definitely.
And that's all, you know, that's the amazing thing, though, that is all independent.
Yes, I tell my musician friends, get into the computer. Because the computer is, you know, I'm using it to write the music with the sequencing, as I was talking about.
Right.
I'm using it to learn the music, and then I'm using it to publish music. I'm also using it to record.
Well, absolutely.
And you just, there's no other way, really. And, maybe you don't have that disposition as a musician. Well, fine. Just find someone who does, and beg them to work for you.
Link up and find people who can get it done, because if not, you're behind the eight ball here.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I sell more music. Most music I sell is not in Ohio, which is, my home state.
Right.
Most of it's, in other states in the U.S., and a lot of it's overseas.
And, I think that's amazing, because the world becomes so much smaller when we can open up a door independently and really reach out to people who might have interest, even if it's not in a regional basis.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I know there's certain styles of music that seem to be more popular in certain regions, and maybe you're finding people out there that just don't really care if you live in Ohio.
Exactly. The progressive rock style is more popular in Asia and parts of Europe.
Absolutely. Look at the Japanese market.
Yes.
And
that's a big market.
Man, they are doing some amazing things.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
You're listening to the Miami Valley Music Cast. I'm Rich Palmer. My guest today is Greg Jones. We've been talking with him, and we're sharing some of his music on the show today. Let's go ahead and listen to cut number 2 from the String Theory CD. This is called Conviction.
Thank you. Hey, if you're looking for ways to get more gigs, more fans, more exposure, or more CD sales, stop by the Musicians Cooler Podcast at coolerpodcasts.com. We talk about everything from cool gadgets to marketing tips, internet resources, the music business, and more. When you send in your tip, be sure to mention your band's website to get your band in front of our global audience. The Musicians Cooler. It's where musicians come to trade advice. Subscribe at coolerpodcast.com.
We've been listening to and talking with Greg Jones. And Greg is a progressive rock guitarist from the Dayton area. He has a CD out called String Theory. He also has a previous project called Collaboration Element. You can find both of those CDs at his website at gregjonesmusic.com. And he's also working on a new project. I talked to him a little bit about that, so let's hear what he has to say about his latest endeavor. Now, where are you at as far as your stages on the new project?
The new project is called Meaning. It's a concept album. It's divided into three sections. It has a prelude, and then part one and part two. And the prelude kind of whets your appetite. It just kind of asks questions, you know, why are we here and what is the meaning of life? Part one goes into the biblical creation story, going from creation all the way to the fall of man. And then part two breaks away, but it sort of parallels part one. It goes into a story of a modern man who's born into a broken home, has big ambitions. He's fueled by these grand, big dreams of success. Has this pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality, I believe I could fly philosophy that a lot of people do have.
Right.
And he goes out and he ends up being successful, but he finds that success doesn't fulfill him. So he has a downward spiral, because what do you do when you're on the top of the mountain and you're looking down and you're saying, is this it? Is this all there is to life? And at that point, this person... They go through a dark time in their life, and they come through that dark time of their life. God gets their attention, and they give their life to God through Jesus Christ, and they find that the true meaning of life is to give your life to something bigger, someone bigger than ourselves, and that is expressed at the end of the album through worship. Now, to answer your question, where am I at? Well, obviously, telling you that story, I've completed writing the album,
right.
Got all the lyrics written, and I'm in the midst of recording it right now.
Great. So do you have a timeline? Do we see a release soon, or how long?
I've been planning summer of next year, of 2006. And,
great.
The disadvantage of not being able to do this full-time is you got so many other things you got to juggle, and I have... one full-time job, another part-time job, and I'm going to school, and I'm married. So, sometimes it's hard to find the time to work on this stuff. But that I do plan on summer next year.
You've shown great accomplishment so far, so I'm sure that you're going to be able to work toward that goal. That
I'm
should
looking
be great.
Forward to it. I'm taking a different philosophy with this album than I did on my other stuff. What we usually do, what local artists usually do, is we'll write our music and then go out and play it and gig the music, and then while you're playing, you start to think about recording. People ask you if they like your music, when you're going to come out with a CD. So you start thinking about recording, you build up the funds, and you go out and record, and usually, because it's expensive and it's time-consuming, it takes a while, and by the time you get a CD out, everybody's heard your music over and over and over again. They're tired of it. So my approach this time is to work it backwards, to work it really like the professionals do. I've written this album, and I'm recording it now, but I have not played it out, at least not with a full band.
Right.
I have tested it out acoustically at some coffee houses on occasion, but I'm going to wait till I have the CD released. When I release the CD, that's when if everything goes well, God willing, I'll have. I hope to have a band that is ready and trained and ready to play the music, and that's when I will hope to aggressively start playing the music out.
Fantastic. Sounds good.
I just hope to keep that philosophy from here on, there on forward, for every subsequent album to do the same.
That's Greg Jones on the Miami Valley Music Cast. Again, I'm Rich Palmer. You can subscribe to this music cast by visiting our site at podcasts.richpalmer.com, or you can listen to the interviews and the music right there on the website, so make sure you check that out. Greg is getting ready to hold a guitar clinic. He's going to hold that Saturday, October 22nd, starting at 11 o'clock a.m. That'll run clear up to 2 p.m. Cost for that is $20 if you pre-register, $30 at the door. And according to the information provided, the clinic is for guitarists beyond a very beginning level. These are guitarists who want to advance their skills in rhythm, lead playing, music theory knowledge, modes, and more. So bring your guitar, but leave your amp at home. Lunch will be sold at the Gathering Grounds. And you can visit the Gathering Grounds website at gatheringgrounds.com for pre-registration information, or also you can do this via Greg's website, gregjonesmusic.com. He allows you to send in registration, or you can also pre-register via PayPal, so make sure you check that out. And speaking of Greg's website, if you go there, you'll find a lot of things to do. He tries to keep you updated on recent events, shows that he has coming up, obviously. He gives some background on previous things. He has a little bit of news in here. You can subscribe to his mailing list. I'm looking at the site as I'm talking here, but he also talks a little bit about his background. But what I find most unique about Greg's website is he offers instruction right there on his site. If you click on the instruction link, you can actually go in and see some music theory. He has scales for guitar. There's instructional information, and also he offers private guitar lessons. So Greg is a very busy guy. You can also obviously download some Greg Jones and the G-Men stuff. And I have to be honest with you, I have performed with Greg over this past summer as part of his G-Men project. And what he does is he goes out into the community and shares not only music from his String Theory CD, but also he does some praise music for different events. He does improvisational type music. We've had a good time this past summer doing several different things. And actually, I got to play bass for him at the annual Guitar Fest, which is held at Stubbs Park. And that's in Centerville. We did an improv version of Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, and that was quite a hoot, so we had a good time on that. Make sure you check out his website. Again, that's gregjonesmusic.com. We're going to finish with the interview with Greg. Actually, I'm just going to play some more music by Greg. This is called Tear the Veil. He did give us an opportunity to hear a little bit about the background of the song, but I'm afraid I'm running out of time, so we won't be able to play that that part of the interview. But I do want to let you hear the song Tear the Veil. This is track number 3 from the album String Theory. We'll be right back. And that's Tear the Veil from the Greg Jones release called String Theory. You're listening to the Miami Valley Music Cast. If you'd like to know more about Greg Jones, visit his site at gregjonesmusic.com. You can also find his music listed at guitar9.com. That's guitar9.com. Also at garageband.com/Greg Jones Music. You can also find his CD release at cdbaby/gjonesmusic. And he's also listed at iTunes, Napster, Music Match, and many other sites. So if you're looking for Greg Jones, you should be able to do a search and do that. You've been listening to Episode 4 of the Miami Valley Music Cast. I am Rich Palmer, and I'm glad that you listened today. We're actually getting pretty close to the end of the show here. I'm looking at the clock and seeing we're going on 40 minutes. We need to get out of here. But before I leave, I want to remind you of my string contest. That ends October 21st. Go to my website, richpalmer.com/contest, and find out how you might be able to win some guitar strings. 12 sets, to be exact. And there's absolutely no obligation whatsoever. Just go on there, submit your name, do what it says there to do, and you may be one lucky winner. I'll probably hold another contest here coming up after the first of the year. If you would like to subscribe to the show, then go to podcasts.richpalmer.com and make sure you catch that in your podcatcher. You'll never miss an episode that way. If you would like to send email to the show, please send that to mvmusicast@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, V as in Victor, musiccast, M-U-S-I-C-A-S-T, @gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think of the show? Any suggestions? If you just want to say a few kind words or otherwise, go ahead and send me some mail. Let me know what's going on. If you are a band hoping to be featured on the show, then please do send me an email at a separate email address, and that is podcast@richpalmer.com. I really just need your contact name, your information, a phone number where I can reach you, obviously your website if you have one, so that we can chat a little bit and find out if you're right for the show. And I'm sure you will be if you're doing original music in this area. Please do be a band from the Miami Valley area of Ohio. I will go as far south as the Ohio River, and I'll go as far north as, I don't know, Sydney, Piqua, Troy. We'll go on up, whatever. And then probably we'll branch over into Columbus from time to time, because I know some of you folks are actually playing in the Miami Valley. I've had a really good time. Hopefully you enjoyed the music of Greg Jones. Stay tuned. We'll have more shows coming up real soon on the Miami Valley Music Cast.
You mean that's all there is?